Good morning. So glad to see you back, travelers. Missed you. Please pray with me. Oh, Holy Father, we bow before you this morning in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this day that by your grace we might greatly exalt him. Oh, Father, we confess that he is Lord of all. We bow before him as King of kings. And, Father, we pray that by your grace we might press into your kingdom. Would you bless your people this day? Would you feed your sheep? Would you give us what we need? Father, would you bless our fellowship? Would you bless our holy communion? We ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please open your Bibles to 1 John, chapter 3. The first epistle of St. John the Apostle, chapter 3. And would you please stand with me for the reading of Holy Scripture? 1 John chapter 3, the beloved apostle writes, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. You may be seated. Well, dear ones, in the three verses that we just read from the beloved apostle, we have a reminder of the lavish, adopting love of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, and then a doctrine, and then a duty. So, a reminder of the lavish love of God, and then a doctrine, then a duty. Let me read these verses to you from the New International Version. Listen. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. That is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." John says, do you see how amazing is the love that God has given to us? He's called us his children. He's called us sons and daughters, his children. The first words of the first book in our Bibles are, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And if we read on just a little farther in that book, we find that the operative power of God's creation is his word. Right? It's his word. The divine word. God said, "Let there be." And there was. God speaks. And light and life and existence come into being by the word of God. Now, this is deep and mysterious, isn't it? Speaking things into existence. But the writer of Hebrews claims to understand it by faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, he writes, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God didn't go cut down a tree and then fire up his planer and plane some wood and then craft something. He made something out of nothing. He made things that do appear out of things that don't appear. And the writer of the Hebrews says, well, I understand that by faith. In the first words of the fourth gospel, the beloved apostle teaches that the word of God was there in the very beginning. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. John 1:1-3. And did you hear? The divine word is a person, a him. All things were made by him. The divine word is Jesus. And the great apostle echoes this in his letter to the Ephesians when he tells them, God created all things by Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:9. How did he create all things? By his word, with his word, through his word. Paul writes to the Colossians that Jesus is, quote, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Colossians 1:15-17. Now, listen, beloved, the point of reminding you of the doctrine of the creatorial word of God is to remind you that when God speaks, things happen. When God speaks, things happen. And the teaching of Holy Scripture is, he spoke and there was light. He spoke and the earth appeared. Now listen. The creatorial word of God is Jesus. And here in 1 John 3:1, God speaks. He calls us, kaleo, he calls us children. And listen, because he calls us children, his children, we are. We are. Now, I can't make something be true just by saying it. Can you? There is one who can. There is one who speaks truth into existence. And when he says, son, you're a son. When he says, daughter, you're a daughter. He has called us children. When God speaks, listen, when God speaks, atoms, molecules, quarks, invisible, extra-dimensional particles align themselves in accordance with his word. And nothing becomes something. Well, preacher, you're talking nonsense. I'm doing the best I can by faith. I'm speaking of things I know not. Well, beloved, did you see? We are God's children because he's called us technon, offspring, children, sons. Our speaking God brings the dead to life. He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Romans 4:17. So, saints, listen, here's a practical nugget for you. This is not the sermon. This is free. When you struggle with assurance of salvation, listen, does that ever happen to you, believer? When you struggle with assurance of salvation, remember this, salvation is of the Lord. God has spoken and He has called us sons and daughters by that same creatorial word with which He created the heaven and the earth and everything that we see and everything that we don't see. And if His word can make this world, His word can make a Christian. The divine word of God. I'm not a Christian because I feel like it. I'm a Christian because He said, "You're my son." And He's God. Beloved, listen, we are what God says we are. Sinners, saints, sons, we are what God says we are. Now, when Satan would shoot a fiery dart of doubt at you, rest your case on the Word of God. The creatorial Word, Jesus, the divine Word of God. Rest your case on the Word. Well, what exactly does it mean to be the offspring of God? To be a son or daughter of the divine majesty? What does that even mean? Well, if you ponder that question for a moment and you think, I'm not sure I really understand everything that means. Well, you're in good company. You're in good company. In verse 2, John writes, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is." He says, "Dear friends, now are we the children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is." Like the great apostle Paul, John sees through a glass darkly. And he says, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." He says, "What we will be has not yet been made known." Well, dear ones, I know a lot less now than I did 15 or 20 years ago. Or rather, I should say, I thought I had a lot of knowledge back then that I now know wasn't knowledge. It was speculation. I thought I knew it. There's a difference between what we know and what we believe. Isn't there? What do we know about resurrection and heaven and the world to come and everlasting life? What do we know? Well, listen, we certainly don't know more than the holy apostles, do we? The great apostle Paul had been caught up into the third heaven, and what he shares with us about that is very limited. Very, very limited. When the beloved John thought to share what he had heard the seven thunders utter in his revelatory vision, a heavenly voice spoke to him and said, "Seal up what the seven thunders have said and do not write it down." Revelation 10:4. What you just heard there, John, don't you write that. Stop. Stop. And here in 1 John 3, in response to this implied question, what will it all be like? In response to that implied question, the beloved apostle writes, "Beloved, now we're the children of God now. And it's not yet appeared as yet what will be. But we know that when he appears, we'll be like him because we will see him just as he is. That's the New American Standard Version. Beloved John, black and white John, well, if we don't know a lot, what do we know? What do we know? Well, what we know is this. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Think about that for a minute. Brothers and sisters, you who have given yourselves to trying to be more like Jesus, the apostolic word here is strong. You may feel like you're not making much progress, but the apostolic assurance is that a time is coming, listen, a time is coming when you will be like Jesus. A time is coming when you will be like Jesus. When we started, we noted that the apostle starts this chapter with a reminder of the lavish, adopting love of God. And then he presents a doctrine that leads to a duty. And the doctrine here is that the destiny of the saints is to be like Jesus. The doctrine here is that the destiny of the saints is to be like Jesus. Now, I'm not sure of everything that means, that we're going to be like Jesus. I'm not sure I understand everything that means, but let me tell you a few things I am confident that it means. I'm confident that a day is coming when I will obey God fully, joyfully, even perfectly. A day is coming when my character defects will be gone. A day is coming when I will love my neighbors unreservedly. A day is coming when I'll have access to the heavenly realm as well as to this earthly dimension. And I'll be able to see things that I can only now apprehend by faith. I'll be able to see things I can't see now. A day is coming when I'll no longer wrestle with doubt and fear and sin and pain and death. A day is coming when I will truly be like my Savior, my King, my Lord, my God. Now, beloved, I surely don't know more than the beloved John, but I can affirm the apostolic doctrine that a time is coming when you and I will be like our Savior. Amen? Now, think with me some more. The doctrine that the destiny of the saints is to be like Jesus demands a duty. Often, doctrine demands duty. And it's no different here. No different here. So in verse 3, the apostle writes, "Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." You understand? In light of this knowledge that when Jesus comes back, we're going to be like him. If you know that, if you believe that, if that is your sincere hope, then an apostolic duty is pressed upon you. If that's your hope, you should be seeking to be pure, just like Jesus was pure. Doctrine demands duty. Creed crafts conduct. Yeah, I had to think about that one. Let's follow John's claim, or let's follow John's chain of thought chronologically for a minute. He's teaching that those who have become the children of God by the divine word, a past event, have a sure hope of glory to be like Jesus, a future event, and that those truths are motives to purity in the present, a present event. Do you see? He's teaching that those who have become the children of God by the divine word, a past event, those who have a sure hope of glory to be like Jesus, a future event, those are motives to pure living now, a present event. Now, listen, beloved, this is the answer. This is the answer to legalistic ideas in Christianity. We don't live in purity to become Christians. We live in purity because we are Christians. You understand? And the reason why we stumble and falter is because our glorification's not complete. But He will come, and we will be like Him when He comes. And to misunderstand the Christian motivation for holy living is to fall into a snare of self-righteousness and legalism. And saint, listen, if that snare has any allure for you at all, then hear an apostolic question. Are you foolish, having begun by the Spirit, that you're now going to try to be perfected in the flesh? Galatians 3:3. And that's one of those hypothetical questions that the answer should be obvious. No, we're not fools. We understand. Thanks for pointing that out, Mr. Great Apostle. Beloved, do you see? In verse 1, John tells us what we are. Technon. Children. God's children. In verse 2, he tells us what we shall be. Like Jesus. Like Jesus. And in verse 3, he tells us what we should be. Pure. Pure, like our Savior. What we are, what we shall be, what we should be. Do you remember that wonder on the Mount of Transfiguration? Peter and James and John are there with Jesus on the mountaintop, and they see something they can't understand. It's like they see Jesus as He really is for a moment. Shimmering, shining, radiant in holiness and beauty, blinding. But then, after the shining, after that dazzling encounter, they have to come back down the mountain and walk with Him, follow in His steps, hear His teaching, obey His words. And Jesus has called them. He's made them His disciples. And He's shown them His glory. But when they come down off the mountain, there's still a fallen world to live in, with all its mud and slime and grime. Still a fallen world to walk in. I'm glad you're here. And brothers and sisters, I hope that when you come to worship here on the Lord's Day, I hope it's like a mini transfiguration for you. I can tell you it often is for me. I hope that when you assemble with the saints and pray together and sing hymns of praise to God and listen to the reading of Holy Scripture, I hope that your soul is renewed, refreshed, transfigured. And I hope that you can go in the strength of that refreshment for another week. The glory that has been in our conversions and the glory that is to be in our perfection, those things are to motivate us to purity now, right now. The apostle wants us to see the vision of glory and then come down off the mountain and translate it into our living day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, purifying hope. Purifying hope. Whoever has this hope lodged in them seeks to purify himself, even as he is pure. Purifying hope. Dearly beloved, listen. You are well-taught Christians. And I think you know what we've been talking about this morning. There's a sense in which we've been talking about tenses, the tenses of salvation, if you will, the time references of salvation. God has justified us. He's called us His children. God will glorify us. He will make us like Jesus. And God is sanctifying us. He's making us more like Jesus right now. He's calling us to purity. Be like your King. Be like your King. Be like your King. Justification is a past event. Glorification is a future event, but sanctification is a present event. It's going on in our lives right now as we seek to be more like our Savior. Let me ask you something. When is your home the cleanest? Well, if your home's anything like the cook's home, it's the cleanest whenever visitors are coming over. When we know those visitors are coming over, and it's like, boys, go fold all that laundry that's on the couch and get it into your room. Can't have that. We don't want them to think we live like this. When we know that you're coming over, we fold all that laundry that's been dumped on the couch. We sweep up that popcorn that's still on the floor from last night. And we get those dishes out of the sink and put them in the dishwasher. When we know you're coming over. And listen, if you knew the governor was coming over or the president, well, you might even hire somebody to do a deep cleaning. Well, listen. Listen. The King is coming. The King is coming. He's returning. And we don't know exactly when it will be, but these fellows that wrote this book, who say they know a lot, they say it's soon. He's coming. He's coming. Clean up. Pick up. Christians, saints, brothers and sisters, listen. Are you living your lives in purity before God now? If you are, praise God. Praise God. But listen to me. If you need to do some cleaning, I urge you to get to it. If you need to do some picking up, some purifying, some cleaning, get after it. Because the King is coming. The king is coming. There is a king, and there is a kingdom. And brothers and sisters, listen. Let us press into it. Behold what wondrous grace the Father has bestowed on sinners of a mortal race to call them sons of God. 'Tis no surprising thing that we should be unknown. The Jewish world knew not their king, God's everlasting Son. Nor doth it yet appear how great we must be made, but when we see our Savior here, we shall be like our head. A hope so much divine, may trials well endure, may purge our souls from sense and sin, as Christ the Lord is pure. If in my Father's love I share a filial part, send down thy Spirit like a dove to rest upon my heart. We should no longer lie like slaves beneath the throne. My faith shall Abba, Father, cry, and thou the kindred own. Please stand with me for prayer. And let us pray. O Lord, I marvel that thou shouldst become incarnate, be crucified, dead, and buried. The sepulcher calls forth my adoring wonder, for it is empty, and thou art risen. The fourfold gospel attests it. The living witnesses prove it, and my heart's experience knows it. Give me to die with thee, that I may rise to new life. For I wished to be as dead and buried to sin, to selfishness, to the world, that I might not hear the voice of the charmer and might be delivered from his lusts. O Lord, there is so much ill about me. Crucify it. There is so much flesh within me. Mortify it. Purge me from selfishness, from the fear of man, from the love of approbation, from the shame of being thought old-fashioned, from the desire to be cultivated and modern. Let me reckon my old life dead because of crucifixion and never feed it as a living thing. Grant me to stand with my dying Savior, to be content to be rejected, to be willing to take up unpopular truths, to hold fast despised teachings until death. Help me to be resolute and Christ contained. Never let me wander from the path of obedience to thy will. Strengthen me for the battles ahead. Give me courage for all the trials and grace for all the joys. O Holy Father, help me to be a holy, happy person, free from wrong desire, from everything contrary to thy mind. Grant me more and more of the resurrection life. May it rule me. May I walk in its power and be strengthened through its influence. In Jesus' name, amen.